Interest of the heart.
Whether we be in Los Angeles or went from one part of the country to the other, I think when we come together, we can feel that close tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. You know, when I get home in the evening, one of the first things I do is to ask Ruth whether or not we've gotten any mail. And usually I go in and open the mail. That's probably one of the first things. We're always interested to see what's come that day. And isn't it that way with us when it comes to the Lord's Word? The truth? Isn't that the first thing that we should usually endeavor to look for that day, that evening? This is a letter from God, so to speak. His words are written for us and all put down in the book. And what a wonderful book this is for us, to think that God Himself is speaking to us. The Creator of the universe. This is a tremendous thought, to know that this Mighty One is speaking to you and to me. It's through the inspired word of the prophets, the apostles, and our Lord that He speaks to us in these letters. And because of this, it should make us more appreciative of the privilege that we have of reading His letters. And in Hebrews, the 4th chapter and the 12th verse, we read something concerning His letter to us, where He says, "The Word of God and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do." This indicates that this great God of ours knows our every thought, our every motive. But even if we didn't have the Bible, reason would tell us that He which has created this brain and body of ours would be able to read the thoughts and the intents of our hearts. But we're unable to do this of ourselves. And the only way that we're able to discern the intents or the thoughts of another is perhaps through His words or His deeds or the motives. And as we discern or endeavor to understand these, it can only be a superficial knowledge that we have of another's thoughts. And for this reason, we often make misjudgments and perhaps place some wrong judgments upon some of our brethren as we note what they may say or do. But we should never forget that all of our thoughts, all of our motives are open. Open to this great God of ours. Naked before the Lord, he says. Weymouth tells us of this text, "Everything lies bare and completely exposed." You know, realizing this would help us to scrutinize our thoughts and our motives day by day, hour by hour. Not only when we come together as in convention or in our regular meeting hall, but at all times, whether it be with dealing with our family or with those in the business world, God knows the thoughts and the intents of our heart. He knows our failures. And because of this, we're encouraged as we read, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. He says, let us hold fast the profession. Yes, this profession that we have made of consecration, dedication to the doing of the will of God. And we can approach to him boldly in this manner because we do have this high priest, this one that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we, yet without sin. And then, because we can approach to him, he says, let us come boldly under the throne of grace. Why? That we might find mercy and find grace to help in every time of need. And not only do we come boldly to him, to this throne of grace, but we need to keep our motives selfish and impure before him whom all things are open. Yes, we must train our desires in keeping with the expressed will of God. Why? Because he says that he is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. It's not enough to be sincere in what we say and do. You know, there's many in the world that are sincere Christian people. Saul of Tarsus was very sincere as he went about persecuting the Christians. But you know, he was wrong. But God looked down into his heart and into his mind. And he knew that because he was sincerely endeavoring to serve God, he chose him from before his mother's womb. And so as we progress in the Christian way, various situations may arise which might seem quite appropriate and proper according to the flesh. But there are times when the little question, what would the Lord have me to do, would give us the proper answer. Yes, it was true that we have a high priest, this one who looks down into our hearts, into our minds, and into our motives. His heart was pure also before the Heavenly Father. His thoughts were naked. They were completely exposed. And he was glad to have it that way. Remember what he says in, prophetically speaking, in Psalms, the 40th chapter, the 9th verse. He says, I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. Yes, thou knowest. God knew what was in his heart, and he knows what's in our hearts. And as we realize this, we ask ourselves the questions, are we glad that he knows? Can he look down into our hearts and in our lives? Because in our hearts we have done the best that we do. We know that we have endeavored to serve him and in truth. And how important that is for us, to serve in spirit and in truth. I like the thoughts of this morning, that we can have all kinds of knowledge, and this is very important, but without the understanding, we'll never gain the knowledge or the wisdom to be pleasing to the Heavenly Father. This serving in spirit and in truth, we may have all kinds of knowledge of the truth, but without the proper spirit. It's like the apostle says, though I have all knowledge and can understand all mysteries, yet without love, it's as tinkling brass and a sounding cymbal. This spirit that we have working in us is as important as the knowledge that we have in our heads. But in the light of what we've done today, to preach righteousness in the great congregation, can we confidently and sincerely look into the face of our Heavenly Father and say, Lord, Thou knowest? He knows whether we acknowledge it or not. Because deep down in our hearts, we're confident that we have done the very best that we could. And can we go to the Lord tonight in prayer, and as we kneel down before Him, before this throne of grace, the Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, can we say with the psalmist, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Can you say that? Can I search me, O God? When Jesus was on earth, He was able to read the thoughts and the intents of the heart of those about Him. He knew that Judas was plotting to take His life, to betray Him. And He knew that Nathanael was an Israelite indeed. And how much the disciples knew of this before they were enlightened with the Holy Spirit, we're not sure. But certainly they came to know that the Lord knew their thoughts. And this is mentioned a time in the life of the disciples. Remember, the Lord had been crucified and buried. He was risen. And the disciples to go back to the fishing business. And they had been fishing all night long and hadn't caught a single thing. And in the morning, this stranger stood on the shore and said, cast your net on the right side of the boat. They were on the left side. They were on the wrong side. Now cast it on the right side of the boat, he says. And when they did, their nets break. You know how many fish there were? Well, 153, to be exact. But then they recognized who this stranger was on the shore. And they called, the Lord called to them, and He said, do you have any meat to eat? No. But, well, come to the shore, and He had fish from cooking on the fire. And when they had dined, this is found in John chapter, in the 15th verse. Simon Peter was asked a question of the Lord. The Lord said to Peter, lovest thou me? Remember what Peter said, Lord, thou knowest. Thou knowest that I love thee. And He says to him, feed my lambs. And then the master turned to him again, and he said, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he said, yeah, Lord. Thou knowest that I love thee. What do you have to ask me again for? And the Lord said, feed my sheep. And then the third time, The Lord turned to Peter and said, "Follow me." And Peter was grieved. He knew that the Lord knew that he loved him. He said, "Thou knowest all things. You know that I love you." And so, this was a wonderful confession of faith in the Master's ability to read Peter's thoughts. And it was with confidence in the Master's ability to read these thoughts that we can say this was based on experience. Because remember, just the night before the Lord was crucified, Peter said, "I'll never deny you, Lord." But remember the incident? The Lord said, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And so Peter could say, "Lord, thou knowest. You can read my thoughts." And that Jesus knew this made a vivid impression on Peter's mind. And remembering this incident on the shore of Galilee, "Thou knowest all things, that I love thee," it seems reasonable to think that he remembered about that incident the night before the crucifixion. Yes, Jesus knew what was in Peter's heart, and he knows what's in your heart. He knows what's in mine. And again, are we glad that he knows? Yes, the fact that he does know and that he understands us perhaps even better than we do ourselves is a tremendous thought. Even if we didn't know that he is a tender and compassionate, sympathetic high priest, he is our advocate, and he's representing us before our Heavenly Father. Not according to the flesh, but according to the thoughts and the intents of the heart. On the Isle of Patmos, the risen Lord communicated to the Apostle John, and there he presented him various visions of revelation to the various churches, and those messages which were to the seven churches of Asia Minor, we like to think are symbolic of this, all the stages of the church. And the conditions that were described back there and the promises that were given back there are applicable all down through the age. And there was one thing that was common with respect to all the churches, and that was, "I know thy works." Whether it was in the early church, at this end of the age, that end of the age, or presently, "I know thy works." And of the first of these churches, in Revelation, the second chapter, in the second verse, he says, "I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them that are evil." Yes, can we say to the Lord, "Lord, you know our works, you know our patience"? Yes, we'd like to be able to say that. But he also said to us, "I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent." Yes, they had left their first love. As we look back to the time when we first knew the Lord in the light of present truth. How often we desired to serve Him at all times. We wanted to do everything that we could to be pleasing to Him. We loved the Lord. We loved the truth. We loved the brethren. But what happened? The church back there left their first love. But today, as the Lord looks down to us, can we say to Him, Lord, Thou knowest that I love Thee, and that I have not left my first love? How grand to think that we can go to the Heavenly Father through our advocate, knowing that they know all things, that our love and our zeal for them has not abated, but that it's just as strong today as it was when we first began in the narrow way. Surely we wouldn't want to say to the Lord that while we still had the enthusiasm and the patience, we wouldn't want Him to say to us, I know that you have left your first love. But as for these things, we must remember that He does know the thoughts and the intents of our heart. And as we realize this, we want to ask ourselves the question, as this question was asked to each of the churches of Revelation, whether it be to Ephesus or Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, or Laodicea, I know thy works. And so now we should be glad to say to the Lord, Lord, I know that you know, and that we need all the help that we can have in the making of our calling and election sure. And may we be worthy to prove ourselves faithful even unto death, knowing that only thus will we receive the crown of life that fadeth not away. Yes, dear Lord, give us a ear to hear what Thy Holy Spirit has said to us, to the churches, when He says, to him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. That will be a wonderful tree, won't it? A tree of eternal life that will be given to those who overcome. And if we do overcome, He says, I will give to eat of the hidden manna. And I will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. Who's going to know the name? Only those who have passed beyond the veil. Those who have received the glory, honor, and immortality, the divine nature. And then they will know the great name of Jehovah, the self-existent one. Then they will be in the family of God beyond the veil. Yes, he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And I will not blot out his name out of the book, but I will confess his name before my Father and his angels. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is the New Jerusalem. And I will grant with him to sit with me on my throne, even as I have overcome and have sat down with my Father on his throne. And these are the promises to you and to me, if we have proven faithful day by day, realizing that God and our Lord, the risen Lord, does know the thoughts and the intents of our hearts. May we then hear what the Spirit is saying to us and help us to be sincere and pure of heart, covering our affections with the robe of his righteousness until we hear that, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joys of thy Lord." May the Lord add his blessing.